Welcome, obviously, to KMI 2014, the workshop, getting started, getting rolling. Scripture memory, it's a life changer. And my name's Mac Grubb and Ken Taff. We are leading this together. So first off, I wanted to share a quote. I don't know if anybody of y'all know Chuck Madden. He's one of those oaks of righteousness, just a great man of faith. He's been one of the main speakers at KMI, and he's also led several workshops. So he's one of the guys I've been blessed to rub shoulders with on occasion. And I emailed a couple guys, these wise sages in my life, just to say, hey, give me a couple points on scripture memory. And he said, you can get everything out of God's word. I don't need to give you any specific points, but I do want to give you a testimony a little bit. And so he sent me this back, and I wanted to read it to you. I just thought it was powerful. So he said, to me, scripture memory has been the single most beneficial habit I've established in my 55 years of walking with Christ since age 17. Words do not describe the value of having the eternal word of God floating around in your head, accessible by the Holy Spirit to minister to you in both in time of need, direction, counsel, warnings, instruction, etc., and in time of helping others. Nothing equips a man more. It helps him pray, it shapes and molds his character and values, it focuses his efforts on eternal values versus being trapped into believing the temporal glitter of the world offers anything of meaning. It equips him to be an effective minister to the needs of others. It is the most dominant factor in determining the decisions we make, the way we react to circumstances, and in the way we treat people. No verse clarifies its significance more clearly than Isaiah 55:8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as Dr. Howard Hendricks commented, the only way our ways become his ways is when our thoughts become his thoughts. Flood your mind with his truth. And speaking of Dr. Hendricks, was a professor, and he's passed away since the time he obviously quoted this, and passed away in the last couple of years, but he's a great man of God as well, and who knows how many verses he's memorized, but a ton. And so he said, one of the things, and I think he said this in his 70s or 80s, my one regret is not memorizing more of the Bible over the years. And this was the same man that also said they ought to require at Dallas Theological Seminary for every graduate to successfully graduate to memorize 1,000 verses word perfect. Can you imagine 1,000 verses? I feel like I've got a lot, and I don't know, I've got maybe 100 or something like that, or a couple hundred. And this guy's saying 1,000, and he's saying he wished he had memorized more. So I told Chuck this morning I was going to read that quote and then just end it because it was so good. And I felt like it just spoke to it and really hit on everything that I hope to share today. So hopefully that gets to a little bit of the importance of Scripture. So real quick, if I can get three volunteers, I got three sections of Scripture that I want you to look up and find and then have ready when I call on you if you'll read it for me. So Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. Someone will take that for me. Someone grab that. Alan, great. Proverbs 7, 1 through 3. I'm going to grab that. Great. And Psalm 19, 7 through 8. Great. So the talk today is going to consist of three parts. Why memorize Scripture, how to memorize Scripture, and then how to be successful. And then we'll have some activities worked in there. So we'll start off with the why. Because if you don't get that why right, you know, this is one of the things I'm pretty passionate about. Because I grew up in the Methodist Church, and I did a lot of stuff, but nobody ever told me why. So never really locked in. Wasn't a believer. I didn't trust Christ until I was older when someone finally explained the why. And so when I got to, that's why I really want to drive home pretty hard on the why memorize Scripture. So the first thing there on the handout is just a statement. It says, our conviction, I want you to think about this and really meditate on it a little bit. Our conviction and belief about the correct understanding of Scripture, where it comes from, and the importance of it, its purpose, is directly proportional to our success with Scripture memory. It determines the priority that it takes in our lives. So our conviction and belief, how much we understand the why and believe it's true and understand and convicted by it about God's Word and the importance of it, will directly impact how successful we're going to be on Scripture memory. So the more we believe it, the more successful we're going to be. And I think a couple verses hit on that pretty hard, at least getting to the understanding of where it comes from and its importance, with 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And most of y'all may, some of y'all may have memorized that or are familiar with it, but all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it clearly shows you that there's pretty good importance. It's going to equip you for every good work. It's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, correcting, and training. And it's directly from God. It's God-breathed. And Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So again, the importance, it's going to make us prosperous and successful. Now, no, not in the world's eyes. We know that. It's not the prosperity gospel. But successful and prosperous in what God deems success and prospering. And we're not supposed to let it depart from our mouth, so it indicates how important it is.
What were those 4 points again? Teaching, rebuking, correcting.
Yeah, in 2 Timothy 3, yeah, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So those are the three things that, God's Word allows you to do. So that's the, kind of the first reason, where it comes from, its importance. Question is, does God command us to memorize Scripture? Does God command us to memorize Scripture? What do y'all think? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah, I think not directly. He doesn't say memorize Scripture directly. I don't know, I haven't seen anywhere in the Word that it says memorize Scripture. But right, there's enough verses in there that we can make a reasonable assumption or inference that God wants us to memorize Scripture. So Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Someone read that for me, whoever.
And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
So I think they shall be on your hearts. Pretty good understanding that that should memorize Scripture. Yes?
Keep it ever present. You know, put it on a little card here and there and review it before you go to bed.
Right. That helps you meditate on it day and night. Right.
But you have a lot of them.
Yes.
Like shingles.
Yep. And put it on your doorpost. And thinking about where you're going to be able to review it, you know, whether you're lying in bed or eating dinner or as you go. I mean, all of those places. You can say, if he's saying it should be on your hearts, we need to memorize it. Because if we're going to talk about it wherever we go, if we're going to meditate it on a day and night, it better be on our hearts. Proverbs 7:1-3.
My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commandments and live it. My teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart.
Great. So write them on the tablet of our heart. Have them in your head. Again, underscoring the ports, we can easily make that leap to say God wants us to memorize Scripture. So hopefully that it's commanded by God. And there's other verses down there you can read later. He wants us to be like Jesus. Or Scripture memory, excuse us, will help us to be like Jesus. And so we know there's numerous times in Scripture that, Jesus quotes Scripture. Specifically, the one that's most common is thought of is when he's in the desert for 40 days and he's being tempted by the devil, right? He's tempted by the devil in three different ways. What does he do? Does he say anything else? No, he just quotes God's word. He just quotes Scripture back to the devil to resist that. So if we want to be like Jesus, we better be memorizing Scripture. It delights our soul. It delights our soul. Someone will read Psalm 19:7-8.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous.
Great. So God's word, it says, it revives the soul. It gives joy to the heart. And so that's something as you're memorizing Scripture, and you're repeating that back in your head, you're reviewing it all the different places, just as Deuteronomy 6 says, that it will give joy to our heart. It will give revive our soul. And so you can imagine how great is that when you're going throughout the day and you're able to pull that scripture back up right, that it just can revive your soul and be joyful to your heart. That's encouraging to me. Scripture memory, why memorize scripture? It keeps us from sin and folly. Psalm 119, 9 through 11, specifically, we'll start. So how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So saying there, right there, I've hidden, I'm hiding God's word in my heart, memorizing scripture, and that helps me to avoid sin. So again, in the desert, Jesus is being tempted. He uses scripture to avoid sin and folly. In Ephesians 6:17, it talks about the word is a sword. It is a sword in our armor that helps us against the devil's schemes. Hebrews 4:12 convicts us of sin. It divides joints and marrow and judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. In Psalm 37:31, it says, God's word is in our heart and keeps our feet from slipping. So I encourage you to read all those verses if you're still kind of want to, again, lock down on the importance of memorizing Scripture. And then last kind of heading there is it prepares us for a life of Christian growth and labor. It helps us to answer questions regarding our faith. So I was inviting one of my buddies, a non-believer, to church and had him there. And so we're talking, and I just got a chance to quickly share John 5:24. I tell thee the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. There's the gospel right there. So I didn't have to get out my Bible and walk through. Oh, that's a great thing to do as well. But it just helped it right on the moment. I'm sitting there in church, and right afterwards I got to share that with him. And so it just easily gets us to share the gospel. Because sometimes you may have your Bible, and you may be able to walk someone through that, right? If you know the Romans Road and numerous other verses, just simply John 5:24, you can walk people real quickly. You commit those to memory. And man, I tell you what, that has been just an amazing way. It's helped me have a lot more confidence in sharing the gospel. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for everyone who believes. I go over that one all the time in wanting to share Christ with others because I get to say that to myself over and over again and remind myself I should not be ashamed. It helps us disciple our children. And Deuteronomy 6:6-9, again, hits that one pretty hard about impressing that on our children. I get to do that on a regular basis. There is nothing better to help train up and disciple your children than having God's word on your heart and teaching them and training them from that, directly from that. We went over James 1:19 a lot. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And so I had my oldest daughter talk about that because she was having a hard time when I was talking to her, and they immediately interrupt. And I needed it too, because it's funny because so we're talking and I'm sitting there talking to my wife and she's hollering at me, James 1:19, Daddy, James 1:19, you know, slow it down, listen. And, so it's great that they use it back on me as well. So I need it. And so I get to talk about how I still need to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And we hammered home on my oldest, Proverbs 15:13, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. And we talked through about, you know, what it is when your heart is happy. It shows up on your face and it looks different. And you can tell right now your heart isn't happy. So that probably means you have a crushed spirit. And we talked through that. And so, again, there's just numerous examples. And I had one of the marriage ministers at our church was talking about how his son had, I think, went a different direction and wasn't doing the right thing. And so they're just taking a walk, and he got to say, hey, remember what, I forget what verse it was, but he said, this verse says, and he said they just went back and sat down, and he just saw his son just start crying, because he didn't have to say anything. He just said, hey, can you pull this back up from memory, Dawson? And he's pulling it back up, and he just starts crying, because God's word convicts us, right? So lots of great examples. It allows us to encourage, teach, and train others. I mean, just the other day, we got five kids, and man, it is hard sometimes because they're all young, and we think we're about to pull our hair out half the days, I think. It's a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of work. So my wife's just kind of getting teary, and part of it was because we hadn't had sleep. The twins were up, and I was working on this, and I was just went up and apologized and asked for forgiveness for having a poor attitude, and she just started crying, and she was just sad. It's like just everything feels hard. And so I just got a chance to just encourage her with 1 Corinthians 15:58. It said, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And just a reminder that, you know, our labor in the Lord's not in vain. We're going to do this for a reason. And so just numerous examples, just in community group, in our group, little small group at church, we get to do that and not speak from my own knowledge and wisdom, but from God's Word. And man, it's just so much easier. You got scripture memory. Man, I still got to improve a ton. So I know I got to, this workshop was great for me to really get me after and light a fire under me to get back and start really hammering out and memorizing a lot more scripture. So it teaches us right for wrong. Hebrews 5:13-14 says that. Helps our prayer life. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, again, hiding his word in our heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you, because we're going to be praying according to his word, because it's just running through us, coursing through us. Helps us to study the Bible more effectively. That helped me out in this talk right here. I had a lot of verses that I already committed to memory that were very applicable, that I had already memorized. It helps us to meditate on God's word anytime, wherever we are. And that's one of the key pieces. If we're just memorizing and memorizing, knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. If we're just seeking to gain knowledge, it's going to do us nothing. We've got to meditate on it and let it train us, which brings us to the purpose and goal of Scripture memory. So the Navigator's mission is to know Christ and to make Christ known. And so the same should be for Scripture memory. If it's not helping you to know and be more like Christ and make Him more known, to teach others to be like Him, then you need to reassess and think through what you're doing with your scripture memory and why it's not doing that. Why it's not doing that. So Dick Wakeman, who's going to speak on Sunday morning, told me this. He was one of the other guys I get to rub shoulders with on occasion. Realize that you are building a mental library that the Holy Spirit can access to minister to you and through you to others. So we want to be more like Christ and we want to make Him known to other people. Excellent. Ken, let Ken take over the how-to and talk to you a little bit about that, since I think some of you are wanting to get started, and go from there.
Well, thank you, Mac. Now that you know why, now that you know there's a good reason to memorize Scripture, a number of good reasons to memorize it, let's get into how best to do that. How many here have used the Navigator method, which is a topic, verse reference, verse, and end with verse reference? Good. That's what we're going to teach you today. So, first of all, make sure that you choose a version of the Bible that you're going to be using for a long time. There are many, many, many navigators who started memorizing in the King James Version, and then they moved to the NIV or the NASB, and now they have a lot of trouble going back and recalling those verses that have a lot of these and thous and makest and shouldn'test. So, pick a version of the Bible that you're going to use for a long time. And we've listed several of the good ones. The more literal the translation, the closer it is to the original language, either Greek or Hebrew or even Aramaic. But the NASB, the New King James, the English Standard Version, Holman's Christian Standard Bible, New English Translation, these others are all good literal translations. Stay away from things like The Message, The Good News for Modern Man, or The Living Bible, things like that. Those are, even the New Living Translation is probably on the far end of where you want to be. So pick a real good translation and stay away from the paraphrases, okay? Now there's two real good methods for doing that, for memorizing Scripture. We'll go over the technical version first, which is smartphone apps. A couple of them that we use are Scripture Typer and Remember Me. Now, both of these, and many others, these just have been the two best that we found, but there are many others out there. These are good because they're available on iPhones, iPads, on Android tablets and phones, and also available on the web. So you can keep all your stuff synchronized. If you don't have your phone with you, you can just get on the web and log in and find your verses that you're memorizing, the ones you've been working on, the ones that are stashed away. But you can do that on your phone or your tablet also. So it's a real good, since you always got your phone with you, it's probably a good way of doing it. I use Scripture Typer. I think Mac uses Remember Me. For those of you who are not so interested in using a smartphone and would rather go back to paper, we'll talk about that real quick. The traditional Navigator's paper memory verse packs are smaller than a business card. I think a business card is 2.5 by 1.5 inches, and I think the little navigator's card is only about 1¾ inches wide. So if you use those, if you use a navigator's verse pack, you may see them around here. Be aware that you have to have smaller cards to fit in there. If you choose to use just regular business cards, which you can buy at Staples and print your verses out on them, then you can use a regular standard business card holder to keep them organized. Or some people use 3.5 by 5 cards, 3 by 5 index cards. That's a little tougher because it's hard to keep those with you all the time. You know, they don't really fit very well into a pocket. They're not unobtrusive. The navigator's verse packs or business card holders are slim and small, and they fit in your front pocket or even your back pocket pretty easily. But a 3x5 cards with a big ring on one corner, not so easy to keep with you all the time. But you do whatever works best for you. Now here's the way we suggest that you do it. Since we want you to memorize the verse and the verse reference, you want to memorize the topic, then the verse reference, then the verse, and then the verse reference again. Okay? Because that's the way we want you to say them when you're saying them to each other as you're practicing your verses. The topic helps you when you're speaking to somebody else. If they're worried about, you know, how do I know that I'm saved? Oh, we go to assurance of salvation. And you think your mind, John 5:24, and say, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word. Okay? So the topic is for your own benefit. The verse may or may not come up when you're witnessing to somebody, but if it does, you're ready with it. Okay? So on one side of the card, you write the top, and I've got this down backwards. I'm sorry about that, but it should be assurance of salvation, John 5:24, then the verse, and then ends with John 5:24. So I wrote this out in NIV, but I'll give it to you, New King James. Assurance of salvation, John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and shall not be condemned. He has crossed over from death into life. John 5:24. And when you're reviewing with your partner, always do it that way. Okay? So if you write it out on your card that way, then you'll remember that. Okay? Then flip the card around and put at the top, assurance of salvation, John 5:24. And down at the bottom left, you can put the date you first started memorizing it. Okay? And then when you're finally ready to, you think you've got it, you're ready to put it in your review box and move on to some other verses, put that date on there too. In this case, we put February 21st, 2014, we started memorizing it. And April 21st, 2014, we thought had mastered it and could put it in our verse box. Jim Downing, the oldest survivor of Pearl Harbor, was supposed to be here. He fell and broke his hip at DFW Airport, so he's in the hospital right now. He was doing one of these scripture memory things a few years ago, and somebody said, Jim, you've been doing this for more than 70 years. How many verses do you think you memorized? And he said, really, I don't know. 4,000 or 5,000, I guess. He said, Do you ever find a new verse that you want to memorize in your Bible study? He said, all the time. He said, I find a new verse, so I get my card out, and I write it up, and I memorize it, and I write it on the back, you know, put it back in my memory box, and find out I've memorized it already 3 times. You know, but he keeps all of his verses, you know, kept them all in a verse box. So, all right. Now, once you've chosen your verses, and look at the last page of your handout, and you'll see the topical memory system. These are the 60 verses that the original navigators thought were important enough that these were the first 60 they taught their disciples. So if you don't know what verses to memorize, now you do. Okay, here's 60 good ones to memorize. But before you start to memorize a verse, write it down on your card, read it out loud several times. It's amazing how well that locks it in for you when you read it out loud. You hear yourself saying it. Put it into context by reading the whole chapter, or at least a few verses on either side of it, before you start memorizing it, so that you'll know what it is exactly saying. Sometimes we memorize verses that they're only part of a sentence, and they don't really flow very well unless you have read it in its context. So try to read the whole chapter so that you know what the verse is trying to say to you. And we talked about learning the verse, learning the topic, the verse reference, and learn the first phrase of your verse. All that is a unit. Assurance of salvation, John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Assurance of salvation, John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Assurance of salvation, John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Those things, that locks it in. It's embarrassing when you go to review with your friends and you say, assurance of salvation, John 5:24. What's the first word? You know, you don't want to do that. You want to be able to go right into it. Okay? After you've done that, if you've reviewed that, learn that first phrase, then go and then add a little bit more to it. But keep going. Assurance of salvation, John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, do that again, and just keep adding to that. But always go back to the top. Assurance of salvation, John 5:24, and start into the verse. Okay. Work on your verses out loud as whenever possible. If you're in your car, do it out loud. Turn your radio off and work on your verses. If you've got a type of verse pack that you can see through it and you want to keep it in your console, set it up on the dashboard of your car when you come to a red light, help you memorize your verses. But do it out loud and don't worry about the people who are kind of looking at you odd from the next car. Just pretend like move your head back and forth like you're singing. When you know your whole verse, you don't really know it. You keep going until you can do it. I talked to somebody the other day, I can't remember who it was, that they don't stop until they can do it 30 times in a row without missing, with no notes. 30 times in a row with no mistakes. Then they know they've got it locked in. As you're memorizing, think about how this verse applies to your life. That'll help lock it in also. My son, when he was 13 or so, started questioning. He started reading the Left Behind books. And got scared. I mean, he was scared. And so he started questioning whether he was really saved. You know, so I walked him through 1 John 5:11-12 and John 5:24 and some others. And helped him think about how these verses applied to him. You know, and I thought, I should probably do that more myself. Always review the verse using the topic reference verse reference method whenever you're reviewing it. Don't cut corners. 100% correct. Okay, this is what bothers a lot of people. We want you to be word perfect. That gives you incredible credibility when you're witnessing to somebody else because they may go home and look up the verse you just told them. And if you just kind of halfway did it, it goes something like this. Or if you paraphrase it, you know, that doesn't have nearly as much impact as doing it word perfect. You got to do it every time. That's the reason we want you to memorize it to the point where it just flows off your tongue. You heard Mac up here a while ago. You know, he was quoting these verses, and it's like he was having a conversation with you. He didn't have to stop and think and get real formal about, I tell you the truth. He just rolled off his tongue. Use the buddy system. Partner up with other people for review and accountability and try to do this stuff as often as possible. I mean, once a week is okay, but it's not as good as twice a week, which is not as good as three times a week. You know, you can even do it over the phone if you have to. If you don't have an accountability partner, if you don't have a partner in church, you don't have anybody to know who's willing to do this stuff, do it with your wife or your kids or your next door neighbor. Find an unbeliever to do it with. Say, hey, I'm working on this thing in my church. Can you help me out here? I'm going to review these verses with you. There you go. Okay? And review. That's the most important thing we can say. Just get these verses down and just keep reviewing them. You can set up a review system. Everybody's got their own system, but you can, if you put these dates on the card, on the back side of the card like we talked about, you can go in and you can... You can organize these things by date, or you can organize them by books of the Bible, or whatever, however you want to do it. But you can go back. I personally use Saturday mornings for my review, and I'll review all the verses that I'm working on several times, and then I'll do I have verses that are set up for weekly review, verses that are set up for monthly review, and verses that are set up for semi-annual review. Okay? So I might be working on 6 verses for this week or this month. So I'll go through those, then I'll go back and I'll look at the ones I have organized for weekly review. I'll do those. Then I'll go back and do the monthly ones, then I'll go back and do the semi-annual ones. By the time the Saturday morning is done, you know, I've reviewed, you know, all 500 verses. And it really only takes about an hour and a half. But it's time well spent. All right, we've got an activity for you now.
So we wanted just to take a verse. So there on the handout, you'll see there it says memorize 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. So we wanted to get you some practice after we just discussed the how-to about putting that into action. So I listed there, if you got your Bible with your own version that you want to use, then you can pull it out from there, or you can use one of those 3 from the English Standard, the NASB, or the NIV. And memorize it. And what I would say is take that middle page is the how-to, or the second page, I guess, is the how-to. And what you can do is you can fold it in half and treat it like a verse card. So on one side, you can write, or if you want to pick another page, it doesn't matter, so you can refer back to the how-to points and the card. But let's practice that. So you want to grab, if you want to look to the person to your right or left and partner up with another man, or in some cases, if there's odd numbers, you can partner up with 3. So take about 5 minutes to write down, as we said, on one side the topic and the verse reference. You don't have to write the topic in this case unless you want to come up with one. You're welcome to come up with a topic, but write the verse reference on one side when you fold the card. And then on the other side, write the verse reference and the verse, and then the verse reference. Does that make sense? So spend about 5 minutes doing that. Then once you're done, you feel like you got it down relatively well, then review it with your person next to you, the other man or 2 that are with you in your group. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about that soon thereafter, all right? Yeah, if you haven't started reviewing with each other, think about starting to review. It's all right if you don't get it down word perfect. We're starting to head in the right direction. All right, take another minute. We'll wrap it back up, bring it back up to the front, take another minute. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Everybody get it memorized? This is just a great, we've done this in our Equip Disciple ministry, and just get it because it's fun, it's easy, it gives you some success, you know, rejoice always, done, I've memorized a verse. Jesus wept. Some people use that and joke about that a lot. Boom, I got another verse written. I think it was that, what is Jesus wept? I forget, John 11:35 or something like that. Anyway, I haven't memorized that one, obviously, although pretty easy. But rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. I mean, can you imagine? Just think about that. Rejoice always. I mean, it's something that just, if it courses through, it's going to change the course of your day. When I start grumbling, rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray continually. So it just really helps us just as a reminder. It helps me as a reminder just to think about that. You know, I memorized Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I think convicts me a ton because I do a lot of complaining. My wife also reminds me I do a lot of complaining as well. So it's just something that's like, oh yeah, hey, you know, I need to stop complaining or arguing. So great. Well, keep reviewing that if you didn't get it down. Again, these are solid, boom. You got 3 verses under your belt, right? We'll talk about here in a second about just being successful, and that's one of the ways, just getting rolling, right? The last heading that we're going to chat about is, again, how to be successful. We talked about what it looks like to be successful, that it should change your lives. If it doesn't, scripture memory should not be considered successful. So Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we want to do. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that's what Scripture really helps to do. We're getting in our head. It's getting God's Word in our head and getting all the junk out of there. In Philippians 4:8, it talks about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. That's what God's word is. That's what we're filling our head up. So that's what we're thinking about all the time, all the time. So our purpose is to be more and more like Jesus, and memorizing scripture helps us to do that. So what do we do when we get in, when we want to get rolling? One minute, we've decided we want to do it right, or we think we want to do it, but we're not sure if we can. We got to ask God for help. So first thing, go to Him in prayer and just say, Lord, wherever you're at, whether it's just getting started, whether it's I'm struggling with it and I haven't been consistent, or whether you want Him just to continue on that path. Ask Him for help to continue to stay faithful at hiding His word in our hearts. Make the decision that we want to do it. Hopefully, again, after we talked this morning about the whys and all the positives and the benefits and how it's going to bless you and bless others, that you're going to decide that you want to do it. We've understood the value of it, the importance of it. We've discussed that. It's time to make a decision to say, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. Next thing, you got to get started. It sounds very simple, but you got to get started. It's most people say that a habit is formed in about 30 days. So when you plan to get started, if you can say and commit it to 4 weeks, 30 days, something like that, and say, I'm going to do this for 30 days and give it a shot. I'm going to do it every single day. Not, I'm going to do it every so often. You may say, I'm going to memorize a verse a week or a verse every 2 weeks or whatever you want to do. But I'm going to review and do some sort of review of God's word, the verses I memorized every single day. And I'm going to do that. And if you can do that, my guess is you're probably going to start to get in that rhythm and you're going to start developing that habit and you're going to find success in it. So just like with anything, though, getting started is hard, right? So you decide, hey, I want to go run. But getting started, getting up and doing it each morning if you're going to go out and run is hard to do. Because it's hard to get started. Once you get started, it gets easier. Determination and priority are key. I use Matthew 6:33 a ton in determining not just the priority of scripture memory, but anything in my life and determining priorities. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we want to think through that and decide, is it seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness? I hope you'd say that scripture memory will and is seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and you elevate that in a priority level above a lot of these other things. It's got to be a high priority in our life for it to be successful. And that may mean you're going to have to evaluate some things in your life and cut it out. And they may be good things. They may be good things. But is it going to have the importance of scripture memory? And you need to consider and wrestle through that. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So we know it's going to take discipline. We know it's going to take determination. It's strict training. When he says he beats his body and makes it his slave and he doesn't run around beating like air, we're not going to run aimlessly. We're going to have a plan. We're going to be determined that we're going to make this happen because it's important. And so I'd ask the question of everyone, including myself, when you're assessing the important and what takes priority in your life, what am I chasing after? Am I chasing after this crown, this eternal prize, which God's word helps to give us? Or we're chasing about something else, money or work or a girl or your wife or your kids or what travel or your hobbies. And some of these things are good, but God wants us to pursue godliness. If we're pursuing godliness, it's okay to pursue these other things, but we want to do it with that perspective of pursuing godliness and God first. And again, all these things will be added to us as well. We're going to love our children. We're going to love our wife. We're going to love other people. We're going to make money. We're going to still excel at work. We're going to do all those other things. But we've got to focus first on godliness and seeking that prize. So then we're going to, as I said before, we're going to have a lot of barriers that we're going to run into. And I listed some of these things down here and then hopefully some solutions, some scripture to address that. So fear of failure, lack of previous success, fear it's too hard. And so fear of failing or lack of success gives us cause to procrastinate. And so If we haven't been good at it before, we're probably not going to be excited to do it again. Or if we just feel like, oh, we're just not going to get this done, it's too hard, I can't memorize, well, whatever it is, you're going to have a hard time getting started. And so some of you also may be overwhelmed. You're thinking, well, I'm never going to memorize 1,000 verses. I'm never going to memorize 1,000 verses. Well, you should develop a plan. And one of the navigators, longtime navigators that passed away a few years ago, Jerry Strader, taught me SOS, series of successes. And so what that means is you're going to set small attainable goals and reach them and set another small attainable goal and reach it. And you're going to continue to do that and have success and just going to build on it to where maybe you are, before you know it, you're going to be have, 200, 300, 500, 1,000. The goal isn't to memorize scripture, but it's going to be changing the number of verses, but it's going to change your life. And soon you're going to realize you're in a whole different place. It's a whole new ball game, but you focused on these little small steps. And so Matthew 6:34 says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's exactly what it talks about, that series of successes. You focus on today. You take care of what the job is and the task at hand, your goal for today. It's reviewing Scripture. I'm just going to review my verses that I have. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm not going to get worried that I've got to do this and this and this and that and the other. But you start developing those series of successes. Another barrier, not enough time. Man, I'm guilty of this one. Life is changing. It changes. Life is constantly changing, no matter where you're at. And I recognize that a ton. You're going to have changes in your life. It's inevitable. It never ends. We're always going to be experiencing change, which will change up our time and make things hard and get it out of your routine. We're going to have distractions. But it's important that not having enough time is still not an excuse. Because I can say, I don't have a lot of time. I got 5 kids, I got a wife, I've got work, I'm serving at church, doing all these different things, and I got my own hobbies and things that I want to do and enjoy. I want to sit down and surf the net or watch TV for a second. All of these things eat up time. But I realize, even though I got a ton on my plate and a lot of it's good, there's still always time for reviewing Scripture. I still have time for reviewing Scripture. If I'm honest with myself and I look down at my schedule, I have time. And so what I've got to do is prioritize my time. I've got to understand what's important. You know, there's maybe some things that I'm doing with my kids that's great, but ultimately, if I'm not hiding God's and where it hurts, not changing me, my time with them is going to be ineffective. I'm not discipling them. I'm not loving them. I'm not encouraging them. I can't do that if I don't have God's Word in my heart. Or I'm not in His Word and reading His Word regularly and studying His Word and meditating on His Word. So people always find the time to do the things that are most important to them. You may not readily say that, but if I looked at your life, most people can say this is what's important to you because that's what you're spending time doing. So you want to find small blocks of time to review, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, about the different places. And when you're shaving, when you're showering, you're brushing your teeth, you're waiting in line, you're on hold, you're in the car, you're at lunch, you're cooking, you're cleaning, you're doing whatever, all the different tasks that we do throughout the day. There's times where you can review Scripture. It may not be always time where you have your verse pack out, but you can review them in your head, and you can get back to the verse pack or your smartphone app or whatever it is and look through the verses. Next barrier, unrepentant sin. Hopefully that's none of you, but it may be. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And so you've got unrepentant sin, you've got to confess it, right? And it shouldn't hold you back. God says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we just got to go to Him and say, forgive us, and let Him purify us and get back at it. So another barrier, people around me don't value Scripture. I've had that a little bit with my community group. Or my small group at church, and the guys don't really value Scripture memory. I've talked about, come on guys, let's do it. And we keep falling short, and thus I fall short. But I've got to find either these two guys and get them on board with it, or find other two men or people, as Ken was saying, whether it's your wife or next-door neighbor or even, again, a non-believing friend, to help hold you accountable and encourage you and help you. Obviously, believers are the best because they're going to be doing it with you. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 clearly indicates the importance of having another to pick us up when we fall. And then lastly, you're not convinced that Scripture memory is important. Even though you may say Scripture memory is important, you're really not convinced. And so that's why you're not having success. So in that case, I'd say review and study and meditate on the verses that we talked about. That's why I list a ton of verses on that first page. Go back and review and study and meditate on those to improve that. So the last little bit of time, on, I think it's the second to last page, there is a section there that is going to help us to identify some time. And then we'll do that, take about 5 minutes to look through that, and then we're going to talk about it as we wrap up our time here. So it talks about the opportunities dedicated to your scripture memory program. So think about your weekly routine. Identify any time slots where you could dedicate your scripture memory program to being effective. So start thinking through where are the times in your lives. Right, take about 2 minutes, 3 minutes to write those down. And I want you to turn to pair up in groups of 3 to 5 men and then kind of talk about them briefly. And then after about 5 to 10 minutes, we'll come back up here and we'll talk about it in a big group. And then the last thing, the last question on there, it says write out what you can do as well. Again, both at the same time, write out some things you can do to ensure that you will always be able to review your verses if the opportunity arises. So take a few minutes, write them yourself, turn in groups of 3 to 5 and discuss them, and then we'll come back up at the front and finish up, wrap up.
By the way, Paul Bill, I think I may have misled you when I said I did my reverse reviews every Saturday. I go to bed with you once every month. So don't feel like you have to take an hour and a half, 2 hours every Saturday to reverse.
Any questions on any of that?
We talked about this verse pack like last year. When I did this thing, the fellow had one of them, and I'm sorry, I don't know where to order.
Yeah, they've good question. Yeah, I know Bill Robertson, who's mentor, discipled us. He buys them someplace. But like Ken was saying, you can go get. If you do business cards, that's the really ideal thing. And so, because you can go get them perforated, you can type them up on Word and print them off, and it makes it easier, right? But they have business card holders. I think that's what I would say, is the business card holders. Yeah, you can get them at
the front, you can keep them in there. I really...
Yeah, I think...
In your book on page 21, there's a thing in here where it says Navigator Books. It says you can buy Navigator materials. Has the website, and you can go on there and order those top commitments.
Okay. Yeah. There'll be some up. They usually have some up at the little...
Set them up this year.
Are they not?
They didn't last year.
Okay.
I asked about it.
But I would get a business card holder. I mean, usually those got, again, on the outside and the inside, it's clear, and you could probably get those at Office Depot, Office Max, same place you can get the business cards. I'd guarantee that's almost where you can get it, and that'd be a good option to use. Yes, sir.
It's been hard to get the original Navigator verse cards. But Campus Crusade also sells them. So the business card is a good adjustment.
Yep.
You know, and it keeps it small and in the pocket.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of the key pieces to think about, because I see people use index cards or index cards, they punch holes and they keep a little ring on them, or they use them in one of those spiral forms, and those are options, and we were talking about that. And Ken was saying, you just can't really take those with you everywhere as you can with the verse pack. That's really why they came up with the business cards. You can slip it in your pocket. You can pull it out anytime. You know, the ring binder is good when you're going, you go to your small group or you're actually memorizing it with another man. That's fine. It's okay in the car, but you're probably not going to have that. So, I use my phone. I don't use the verse pack, but I can pull it out. And if I'm, waiting in line, I can review some verses or whatever it is. I have it on me pretty much at all times. The only time that I ran into a problem is I'm out of power. But a good question about the verse packs, yeah. So go ahead and start thinking about talking amongst yourselves and sharing a little bit. Actually, you know what? We're getting close to the end. If y'all had a few, let's just talk about them. If somebody throws some things out, we don't have to talk. We'll just talk about it from the up front. Where are some places that you identified that y'all do, that you have done, or maybe that are helpful times where you can review scripture, that you can dedicate some time slots?
Driving.
Yeah, you got to be careful, right? Because I was about to say it, because I probably pushed the limits a little bit too much, and I'd need to be more respectful about that and trying to review. But, yeah, there's some places where you can download audio, put it on a CD, and listen to it, right? And that's a good thing. Verses. I do that with my kids, the seeds verses and stuff.
Like me, I do construction, and I drive from Tulsa to Texas and from Texas to Wichita, Kansas, and
yeah,
every week. So when you have 1,600 miles of baseline,
you got to do that.
You can hit like one scripture and just let it replay.
Yep.
And just kind of keep replaying.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I'm a long haul truck driver, and I take 3x5 cards, print them out, and tape them to the dash of my truck.
Great.
driving down the road and you don't stand there and look at it and, you know, run into everything. But if you're driving down the road, you can glance at the speedometer, you glance at your car.
Great.
And you can take it and change it out. You can put in, you know, when I make one to put it in the first pack, I make a 3x5 card and a business card. And that way, you know, whatever I've got in my verse pack, that's what's taken to dash my truck. And sometimes one verse stays there for a week. And sometimes I'll have three a day that I put on there. You know, it just depends on the verse and the difficulty of memorizing.
Yeah, sure.
You know, what's going through my head.
Yep.
But
we used to have a girl who would take a prior race markers, write it on the tile of her shower.
Yep.
She could review what she's in the shower. And then she does, just wipes it off and paint the towel.
That works great around your mirror while you're shaving also.
Yep. Good. What else? Any other identify anything? Yep.
When I go running, I'm just thinking
yeah.
how many miles are left and how long have I been running.
Yep.
What I find out if I start reviewing the verses, then my mind is occupied doing something else.
Yes. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Yeah, we had a guy that's in our ministry as well, Bob Lehman. He's led some workshops before, and he's a big runner, and that's what got him going, is reviewing and memorizing scripture, and then he'd assimilate it with an object that he'd run by that he'd recall a verse and then start reviewing. He saw a stop sign, I don't know what he pulled up, but he'd have something he'd pull up and other things, a tree, and he'd, you know, go back planted by streams of water. And so he'd review Psalm 1:1-3. And so anyway, he just used that same thing, kind of running, just a great time to do that. Anybody else? Yes.
And the mechanics, you can go and get a repeated graph pen that has Indian ink in it.
Uh-huh.
It won't run. And 0.01 is the best size for filling out a verse card.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is when I've been struggling with four verses, and so I took and I had them in the cards and I Xeroxed them and all set them. And then I take that sheet and made two copies and highlighted it so I could jump from one verse to the next I use a red pen on that. But that's helped.
Good. What else? Yes, sir.
If you write what you're trying to memorize on small cards, once you have written them, then you can just put it face down on a copy machine and put 6, 7, 8 of them in one sheet of paper.
Yep.
And then put it in a binder, and you can have as many copies of that particular sheet as you wanted. If you have more than one binder, you can carry one in your car. You can read them as you, you know, stop or whatever.
Yep.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, and that's obviously great when you have, you know, a sheet of paper that you can see them all at once. You're not having to flip through cards, say, in the car in different places. You just want to be careful because you're not going to carry around those binders in other places. So you just want to, again, think through. You're going to have to determine what's best for you, right? So that's why we're talking about these things, so you can get some ideas and, hey, that might be good. I'd like to do the binder thing, and that would be great for the car, but I want to make sure I'm also keeping something on my phone or verse cards in my pocket so I can review this whenever. Great. Anybody else? Other unique times?
Something funny that happened to me. The only verse I've memorized in English is Ephesians 6:7.
Mm-hmm.
Because a couple of years ago, somebody gave me that verse on a little card, and I liked it a lot, so I put it in the mirror. But it's there every day, so every day I just see it. And I don't even think about reading it. Just my eyes focus.
Yep. Well, it says, you know, again, in Deuteronomy 6, I think in the near the 9, put it on your doorpost, write it around so you're talking about it. Use it with your kids. Talk about it with your friends. Talk about it with your neighbors. One of the other guys, he knew he was going on a long drive with his brother who didn't know the Lord. And he just said what Ken was suggesting, like, hey, would you help me review verses? I'm just trying to get this done. And so just gave him a chance. You know, Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, right? So he came to know Christ through scripture memory. That was one of his big things, is prayer and scripture memory, the two things that drew him to the Lord. And so he's memorizing scripture and you know, he's memorizing scripture so he can win a contest, right? And eventually just started working on his heart and changed him, and eventually trusted Christ as a result. So that thing can be done, so you can use it kind of, again, as a double-edged sword. You're using them or having them help you review, but it's also encouraging them and challenging them and hopefully transforming their mind and getting them to a place where they're ready to accept Christ. So that's another option too, just to think about when you're with other friends saying, hey, can you help me? That's a great option. Anything else? Yes, sir.
I teach Sunday school class, and when the older students in the Sunday school class are going into junior high, I make it a point to have them check me out on my verses currently. Now, I'm not telling them memorize scripture.
Right.
I'm showing I do it.
Yep.
But they check me out, and then maybe when they get older, they'll do that.
Yep. Great. Any other questions just about issues you've run into, or yes?
Yeah, I guess I'd like to, you talked about the buddy system a little
yep.
bit, and it sounds like you too have been camping
yep.
a little bit. Could you put some wheels on that? Do you,
sure.
Do you call each other, or do you sit down
yeah,
and say,
what different day?
Yeah, so we've looked a couple different ways. One, we've been in small groups. So we're leading Equipped Disciple Ministry. That's the first thing we always start off with is reviewing scripture, the verse that we're working on, anything else. It can also look like in our leadership meetings where we meet, we know that we're going to be held accountable because at that time we're each going to quote one of our verses, and we're going to give like a minute or two testimony on how it's applying to our life, how we're using, whatever it looks like. But when you review it, you know, you pull out your smartphone app or your first pack and say, here you go, Ken. And you give it and he says, all right. You know, hey, Ken, give me John 5:24.
Assurance of salvation, John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and...
And so then I'd be looking at it, and he'd mess up. And I'd be like, usually we'd hold up we'd do a finger, you know, and be like, well, you know, and I wouldn't say anything. I'd just hold up a finger. So he knows, right, that he's missed something. Now, I can't do it right now because I don't have New King James memorized, so I couldn't do that. I could tell he was doing it on purpose. But so you hold up a finger and just say, hey, you know, don't say anything. Let them see if they can't figure it out first before you give them the verse. Let them figure it out. Let them do it themselves. And most of the time, they're going to correct it. Now, if it continues over and over again, right, then you just say, forget it. And what happens, we'll find when we're doing our little small groups, if you got somebody and they're trying to review and they don't get it, you're just like, okay, you probably need to review this a little bit more. We're not going to go painfully here. I don't need to review it with you and check you off. You need to go memorize it more. So, hey, come back. Let's do it next week when you got this down. And so I've heard different things, like Ken was saying, 30 times. You know, you've got to do it 10 times in a row and be successful before you start saying, hey, come check me out, because then you're wasting both people's time, right?
Be brutal. I mean, we want to be more perfect.
But you've got to find your group. I mean, what men are you meeting with regularly that you're in? I mean, again, we call at our church community groups, and so we're meeting with men, and so I meet, you know, every other week. So probably it would be, I still got to get these guys on board with it, but meeting every other week and doing it and saying, that's what you just start off with first. Because, right, the tendency is to go in and just chat about stuff, right? So you know the very first thing you're going to do is memorize scriptures when they're there. You know you're going to get asked about it. You know you're going to be held accountable. So you better have your verse. That's the great thing about within our leadership. All the guys are on the same boat. And we knew that Bill guaranteed he's not going to run the meeting without asking, hey, what verse did you... I mean, very rarely. And so you knew you better come with one, and you better have a good answer for it. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to beat you down and say, hey, idiot, you know, I don't want to... But you know that there's the little bit of that force coming on. You're like, oh, I just let the group down, you know? So there's that kind of good encouragement.
Make sure you have your card with you, because you may have I memorize that New King James. He does the NIV.
Yep.
He's got to give me his card, so I'll be able to check his word perfectly.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's the key piece, because you want to make sure, you want to, when you're reviewing it, you're right. You want to either have the verse pack right in front of you, or their version of the Bible, so you can check them off. You don't want to sit here and just let them go at it and hope they do it right, because you're not checking towards word perfect. And that's, again, our goal. We want to get them to do it right, not halfway. And so the other reason for word perfect, which we see, we have people, again, they just bristle when they hear us say that. And then when we hold our finger up and say, look, hey, you missed an A or a the or whatever. And people are like, oh, you're beating me down. It's so painful. But it's so important. Does it change up the basis of the scripture? No. But have you ever played a telephone game and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse? And soon enough, you don't have any clue what that verse says and you've totally distorted it. And you're now not sharing what God's word says. And I remember the very first time I heard somebody quote scripture, he wasn't anything amazing. He wasn't something that had been walking with Christ for very long. In fact, he was kind of a guy that wavered in and out, I think, with his faith. But he quoted, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he said it word perfect. I'm like, and I didn't even know necessarily right then it was a verse specific until he quoted the verse reference at the end. And I was like, that has power. It just does. It's God's. It's living and active. And so when we're sharing his word perfect, we're not entering in with our interpretation or our words. It's his words. And that's what we're wanting to share with other people and why it's important to make sure they get it down 100%.
And if you're not using the New King James, should be.
Yeah, yes.
What's your name?
Mac.
Mac.
Yeah, Mac and Ken. Mac Grubb, G-R-U-B-B. Sorry, I didn't put that on the handout. And Ken Taff, T-E-A-F-F. Any other questions? Issues you run into, barriers, burning questions?
Something that you just said, though, whenever you talk about being letter perfect.
Yep.
I mean, apply to his original text. The scribes and cost them their lives.
Right. Yep. It's a big deal.
If they would put that kind of emphasis on it, then you know, there's probably a good reason that we should better perform.
Yep. And it's easier to talk about in these, it's when you get out and people are like kind of so-so about it. Yep.
Our time's up. You guys want to leave? You want to hang out here and talk about scripture memory? We're paid.
Yeah, we ran 5 minutes over, sorry, but I enjoy the topic, so.